You're going to listen to me inject drugs into my system live on the air. Well, not live, but live enough for our purposes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Error Report for the week of July the 29th. I'm Clint Prentice here, joined with Evan Tognati.
Yeah.
And that's it. No more people on Error Report. We're taking it down to two men, two-man podcast, and it's going to stay that way forever.
Just two men talking.
Just the two of us.
Shooting the shit.
And we're going to be like the Marx Brothers of podcasts.
There were four of them, but okay.
We're going to be the Siskel and Ebert of podcasts. Is that better?
Gene Siskel is dead, but okay.
Well, fuck you, because the Marx Brothers are dead.
Yeah, that's true. The Marx Brothers are dead. I just chose, I should say, to go with the fact that there are four of them.
What about Abbott and Costello? We can be the Abbott and Costello of podcasts.
Oh, well, they're dead. Yeah. That's true.
Okay, so we can be the Brad Pitt and George Clooney of podcasts.
Who's who?
I'll be George Clooney.
Duh. Of course. God damn it. Why am I always the Brad Pitt to your George Clooney? Glenn? Why?
I don't know. I just think that you're more Angelina Jolie's type.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're more
Rosemary Clooney's baby.
Okay. Off to a roaring start.
She was in White Christmas with Bing Crosby. And
That's true. That's a movie that exists.
She was in it.
Yeah, I know.
And this was pointed out to me like a year ago, and I realized, whoa, that's George Clooney's mom.
Yep.
So, anyway, movie trivia, I guess.
Yeah.
She was pregnant on the set. No, she wasn't pregnant.
Bet everybody listening's regretting their decision now, huh?
Probably. Probably a lot, actually. Yeah. So, oh, shit, that hurt. Okay, back. Evan,
you have
how
back
about
pain.
I do have back pain. I have a lot of back pain.
Mm.
A lot of it. Mm. And so I might need to lay down in a few minutes. But Evan, how about you tell me about yourself? Think of this as a speed dating competition.
Well, you know,
you only
I like
have
to,
60
I
seconds.
I like to think I'm good with words. I think my biggest flaw is that I work too hard.
And you leave so little for the rest of us.
Yep. So speaking of working too hard, I reviewed Dyad. far too difficult. It actually wasn't that difficult. Dyad is a good video game. It does things that are good in the video game medium.
That sounds like it does good things. Is it basically a rhythm game or something?
Sort of. It's like a rhythm game, arcade racer, puzzle action thing.
Okay.
It's hard. It's hard to describe. There are 26 levels, and they all have sort of crazily variant objectives. They really introduce a lot of new concepts throughout that game, and you just play as this, like, ball of light, or ship, or what have you, that's traveling down this light tunnel,
mm-hmm.
and there are points in the light tunnel, at least this is the most basic form of playing Dyad, that they're different colors, and to You don't, like, accelerate. The way you move faster is by hooking on to one of these points and pulling yourself forward.
That's weird.
Sort of like a grappling hook thing. But sort of like Tempest 2.
Tempest 2? The sequel to Tempest?
Sure. It's sort of like Just Cause 2 meets Tempest. There
are a lot
go.
Of explosions, and you have a chaos meter?
You don't have a chaos meter. You have a lance meter, though. When your lance meter fills up, you can press the square button and you go extremely fast and can sort of destroy all of the things in your path if you hit them. Normally, if you hit one of these points, it you know, it takes a life or it rewinds you a little bit.
By the way, laying down is a lot better.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Still hurts, though.
Yeah, it's a very cool game. The thing I ran into with it, and the reason I gave it 4 stars instead of 5, is that, like, it's an extremely sort of mesmerizing game from an audio and visual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And very entrancing in a lot of ways. But as I found that as the game's challenges got more severe, I was less, just sort of as a product of me needing to focus on what was happening more and needing to retry levels a bunch. Like, the more difficult stuff, and there's a lot of difficult stuff if you want to get all the trophies, was less engaging and less fun for me.
Mm.
But I'm sure there are people, like, the leaderboard setup is really, really well done. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are gonna crave that stuff, but I'm not that person. So instead, I just enjoyed my leisurely time with it. Also has a really, really, really good ending.
So check out that review.
Yeah, check out that review on errornotfound.org.
Mm-hmm. It is pretentious and filled with big words.
Oh, yes, very much. I use portentous a great deal. That's one word I use. So yeah, I played Dyad. I played some more Gravity Rush because that's been like sitting on the back burner for a long time. So I figured I'd complete a couple more chapters in that, and that game is still really good. Still probably the best game on the Vita.
Okay.
So, having a good time with that. I was going to try to pick up I was going to try to pick up this new Atlas strategy RPG, but it didn't come out digitally on PSN yet, so I'm probably going to wait until that happens. And other than that, that's right, I played Okami for about 4 hours. I got Okami from Gamefly.
Is that fun? I never played it.
It's Zelda, but you play as a dog. But so, it's like a god dog.
So it's Darksiders, but you play as a dog.
Yeah, but everything's like cel shaded and like a.
So it's like a Wind Waker
Japanese style.
Do you have a boat?
You don't have a boat.
Oh well, that's not
Zelda.
But
you can jump really high. You can wall jump. And you can at any time like press R1 to take the screen you're looking at and turn it into a canvas that you paint on. And the paint. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
And,
God damn it,
Matthew. So that was not as smooth as I was hoping. Anyway, in Okami, you paint to do different things, essentially, Clint.
Okay.
Like there's one puzzle where like everybody, it's nighttime,
Evan,
so no one's
Evan, I'm gonna stop out. You.
Yep.
Because you're breaking up and I'm gonna go to Matthew over here.
Yeah, hey.
And I need Matthew to pull up on his mic.
Is this good?
No, that's terrible.
Okay. How about now?
You need to be louder.
How about now?
No, that's just eating your microphone.
Well, what do you want?
I want you to be more clear.
How about now?
Fine, now. Whatever. Whatever.
Okay. What I do?
Sure.
Not a lot, because I've mostly been watching the Olympics with my grandparents and stuff like that, but I did see two movies of note. I saw Chronicle, that handheld sort of superhero.
That's a movie.
Yeah, it's okay. The dialogue gets kind of hokey in the third act.
I believe I gave that movie 3 out of 5.
I recall. I'd pretty much agree with that. I like the actors that play the kids. They're all pretty sympathetic and interesting, but it's pretty the action stuff they want to do fails more often than it succeeds, and the script kind of gets bad at points. So it's also really short.
Yeah, it's like 80 minutes long.
78, I think, but yeah.
Yeah,
and then I also saw your guys' favorite movie of the year, Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah,
I actually convinced my entire family to go because they were all really skeptical.
Good man.
That's a damn good movie.
That is a great family movie.
Yeah, I mean, especially from just a cinematography standpoint, that is unquestionably the best
beautiful.
Movie of the year. Yeah, it's really pretty. And I liked it a lot. I don't know if it's my favorite movie, but I can definitely... It's certainly probably the best movie that's came out this year.
I think you should leave.
Well, I just said it was the best movie that came out this year. Maybe
yeah,
not my favorite.
True. Well, then what's your favorite?
Probably still Cabin in the Woods. Is that really a horrible thing to say that the best movie of the year is Moonrise Kingdom and my favorite movie is still Cabin in the Woods?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll have to just own up to that.
I don't think you're horrible, Matthew. I don't
Thank
agree
you.
With you, Clint.
Oh, man.
Oh, by the way, Okami, really long game, just so you know.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Super long game. Am I not breaking up anymore?
You are not.
Okay.
Yeah, so you should just continue on. That's about all I've done.
Yeah, Okami is like 50 hours long.
It's a long time.
It's a long game. Like, there are three major arcs, so I've heard, and I'm 5 hours in, and I don't feel like I've even reached the halfway point of the first arc yet, so...
Yeah, I think it's around 50 hours.
Yeah, it's a while, but what I was saying, Clint, is that there's a puzzle where it's all at night in this village, and you need to make it daytime, so you look up at the sky and paint a circle for a sun, and it brings up the sun.
Interesting.
So... It's stuff like that.
Is this
you guys
want to
know an
Okami?
Okami fun fact?
Is this PS2 Okami or Wii Okami?
This is PS2 Okami. And yes, Matthew.
For the Wii version of Okami, the cover art was actually from IGN, because there's a little IGN symbol if you look hard enough on it. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's quite the fun fact.
I know. I had that copy of it, but I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well.
That is...
You cut me up, Matthew.
kind of a fun fact, don't you think?
Yeah, no.
Oh, I played some other stuff, but yeah, you go ahead.
I'm trying to remember what else I did. Matthew, play Dyad. That's my advice.
Okay.
I'll just recap.
Is that on the PC?
No, it's PSN.
Exclusive.
Okay. Yeah. Part exclusivity PS Play for that,
or
but
whatever.
It's really good.
Should I play that or Journey?
Tony Hawk.
Journey.
Oh. Okay.
Journey's better. Don't play Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's awesome.
Journey.
I think I'm just going to get Wrecketeer.
Yeah.
Wrecketeer instead.
Yeah, Wrecketeer
is supposed to be pretty good.
Get Wrecketeer. Mm.
You're just weird against Wrecketeer. Your world
explosion.
Show.
Yeah, I find the explosions very underwhelming.
Don't get Deadlight.
Apparently that's a misstep.
Yeah.
Game Informer gave a good score.
A lot of people didn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
And Tim really likes zombies, so... That could be a deciding factor. Or maybe not. I don't know. What are we doing? Hell, fucking cocks on the Serengeti. This is dumb, you guys. So basically, Skype has broken.
Skype broke?
Well, for some reason, I don't know what the fuck it is, but for some reason, it's showing me offline right now, and I couldn't hear you guys for like 30 seconds.
That's weird.
Yep.
I can't hear Matthew, unless he hasn't talked.
Matthew was disconnected or some shit, and now he's back.
Yeah, I'm back.
So that was dumb, and I said something weird, like some weird expletive whenever I found that out. So anyway.
Anyway, moving along.
What are we doing?
I was talking about things I've been doing.
Yeah.
That's right. I went to California Extreme. That's the thing I did.
How extreme was California Extreme?
It was pretty extreme. It was pretty radical.
How many old arcade games did you play?
I played a lot of them, because that's sort of all that is.
So for those who don't know California Extreme, a bunch of California guys and pretty much everybody around the world, isn't that true? They bring their old arcade machines and play them and sell them and fix them and stuff.
Yeah, they sell them, they set them on free play, so people just wander around and play shit. And it's a good time. I played through about half of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade brawler.
Nice.
With a really messed up screen, so all the colors were bleeding. That was fun. I played some Warlords.
Yeah.
With a trackball, too, not a joystick.
You play any Gauntlet?
I did not get a chance to play any Gauntlet.
Yeah.
I played some Joust, though.
There you go.
Played some Joust, played some Punch-Out and Super Punch-Out.
Yeah.
There was this cocktail tabletop tapper machine I played a lot of.
Fantastic.
That I really wanted to get. I think if there's one cabinet I'd like to get, it is a tabletop tapper machine. I think that's the way to go.
Sounds
it has a practical purpose. Yeah, it has like, and also the one they had there was not even root beer tapper. It was just straight Budweiser licensed tapper.
Wait, is this the game with the, what is this one?
This is, there are a bunch of customers coming out of four
lanes, and you gotta like pour them beer and shut
yeah, you
it down
gotta
the
pour
table.
Them beer okay. and slide them down, and okay. you have to manage all of them.
Okay,
isn't the Budweiser one really rare?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, and it's cool because the you've got a normal joystick to control your movement, but then the joystick for pouring the beer is actually like a fake plastic tap with the Budweiser logo on it.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
I probably played Tapper for like an hour.
Oh, man. Now I want a Tapper cabinet.
Yeah, I really want a Tapper cabinet. But but that one was not for sale, it seemed. And the stuff that was for sale was a wee bit out of my price range.
Your price range of?
Of $0. yeah, California Extreme's a really fun time.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the point now where it's crowded enough, but not too crowded. So there was always at least, you know, three or four machines out of the, you know, 80 or 90 that were there, plus a bunch of pinball machines that I could
What kind of pinball machines were there?
Oh, all sorts. There were probably like 40 of them.
Any Terminator 2s?
There was some Terminator 2. I saw a Playboy pinball machine.
Nice.
Didn't get a chance to check that out.
Was Indiana Jones Last Crusade? Was that the pinball machine?
Yes, they had the Indiana Jones pinball machine, and they also had Twilight Zone? Indiana Jones cabinet that I'd never seen before.
Did you have the Simpsons?
That was the one thing they didn't have that I kind of wish they had.
How's the Twilight Zone pinball machine?
Twilight Zone pinball machine is good. And anybody who says otherwise is a lunatic. So yeah, I would recommend, it's in Santa Clara, California, which is sort of a bummer because, how to put this nicely, Santa Clara is a shithole. it's right across the street from Great America, theme park.
I'm sure it's fantastic. Do they serve hot dogs there?
Where? California Extreme?
No, Great Santa American.
Clara. Oh, Great America. Yeah, they serve hot dogs at Great America. There's like roller coasters.
Fried ice cream?
I'm sure they have all of these things.
at the Texas State Fair, every year they have a new fried food.
Ugh.
And trust Texas. Me, you never want to go to the Texas State Fair because
it's
fucking hot. B, everyone there is morbidly obese. And C, things are overpriced.
And
it's in a shit part of town.
Sounds like a good representation of Texas.
It is in the worst part of Dallas I think there is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even go to my county fair because of how hot it is. I can't imagine going to a Texas state fair.
But there's also like a concert I'm going to later this month in that shithole part of Dallas, so wish me luck there.
Yeah.
Is it Yo Gabba Gabba?
No.
Try not to get shivved.
You know what? The last time I went there for a concert, we got lost on our way back. So I couldn't find I-35, and we went through a bad neighborhood. You remember that neighborhood in... I'm probably going to be talking to Matthew for this one, because I don't know if you got to that part yet. But in Breaking Bad, where Jesse goes to that house in, like, meth land, It is like that.
It's bad neighborhood.
Oh, you mean the episode with the two parents and the kid?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like that.
Amazing. Yeah.
Is bad neighborhood just code for more than 50% of the population there is of another race, and therefore it makes you feel uncomfortable?
It's just a lot of really nice houses, but
yeah. Need to build up that gate, man. Gotta keep them out.
No, that's not it at all. That place is in Lucas.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm kidding. Uh-huh. Although there are a lot of big houses in Lucas.
Yeah, so
a lot of
big
cars in Texas. It's scary.
I mean, there are a lot of trucks with giant tires on them.
Mm.
Monster trucks.
Not monster trucks, really.
Are there monster truck rallies in Texas?
Not that I know of. There's an annual Supercross competition. At the,
I don't know,
the Cowboys Stadium. Like... What? That's like motorcycles. Dirt bikes.
They should have wrestlers on motorcycles on dirt bikes.
Okay. Wait, what? That's two
so that
motorcycles.
Was... Don't go too deep in his head on this one. That was about all I did. I also watched the last couple episodes of Girls That I Missed.
Aren't they good?
It's a really good show.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the second season.
Me too.
And then I also watched the latest episode of The Newsroom, which I found to be the least bad episode of The Newsroom yet.
which one's that?
It's pretty good.
It is called
Bullies.
Bullies.
Yeah. Okay. It's about bullies.
And
Will
like
being
it
a bully.
Because finally someone calls out Will Mack. On kind of being
in
a prick.
The best way ever, also the most depressing way ever too.
Yeah, but still, you know, there are still things in that episode that I cannot stand. Still, really, am not liking the relationship triangle thing they've got going.
Yeah, I feel like that'll be cleared up by the end of the season. The way it's going.
I could not have sighed harder when, and this is really just for people who saw the episode, when whatever the fuck his name is.
Dan.
The Dan, is that his name?
The asshole who moved to late night?
No, like the guy.
The new
yeah,
one.
The guy who's supposed to be the bad one in the love
okay,
triangle.
Okay, so the one that she's going out with right now. Don.
Yes. Don, okay. When he was talking to Olivia Munn about some very important
and then he all of a sudden, shouted, I like that moment, so fuck you.
It's just, it's symptomatic of the larger issue I have, which is just like all this sort of bullshit, trivial, romantic stuff going on when there's other serious things.
And there's plenty of other stuff going on.
So what? It's a television show. Like,
it's
juggling too much.
It's a television show that's supposed to be of grave importance. That stuff was fine for me on Sports Night because it was a sports news show. But this
so
is
you're
supposed
saying
to be like
sports
the show
aren't
that's
important?
Gonna pull America up by its bootstraps and be like this.
But you can't have an entire show like that. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's sort of the flaw of the newsroom.
Okay, so but you're saying that they should scrap the news and just become...
I'm saying it shouldn't exist.
They should become TMZ.
I'm saying that
the newsroom is a fundamentally flawed concept.
I think Allison Pill is still adorable.
She is adorable.
I think she's not very good on that show.
I think you're an asshole. And
I'm not disagreeing that she's adorable. I think she's a good actress too, but I don't think she's very good on that show.
I think you're stupid. And
I think she's just one of many Sorkin female characters who sort of can't handle her shit and constantly fuck up in weird ways. Like in this episode, she's like connected to media. That's part of her job. And she thought that LOL meant lots of love and wrote it on a funeral card. Like
that was back in what, 2003 or something? I'm trying to remember their dates there.
Yeah.
But I like the thing they had going where that other guy, they were researching each other instead of researching Will.
Right.
I liked that.
That was okay.
And then she was like, he got arrested or something? No, what was it? I forget. Anyway.
There are a lot of really dim-witted people on that show.
Yeah.
Considering how wittily they talk all the time.
Well, you know.
Like, one of the characters one of the things they dig up is that he studied abroad in the Arctic because he wanted to see
the penguins! So he went to the North Pole instead of the South Pole, and then he tried to have sex with an Eskimo.
That was the crux of it. But I do like all the stuff with
it. I gotta watch that.
He went to have sex with an Eskimo.
I really...
to
I
make
really
up for
it.
The fact that he didn't get to see the penguins.
Uh-huh. I really did enjoy all the stuff with psychiatrist and Will. That was all pretty good.
Yeah, whatever, Evan. Gotta be a party pooper all the time.
Why don't you just watch In Treatment, then? Jeez.
I don't watch that show.
Why don't you just watch Monk?
I don't watch that show either, which I think has been off the air for 4 years.
Yeah, something like that. Why don't you watch In Treatment?
Because I don't know.
Don't you like psychiatrists?
That's a weird question. sure.
You should watch it.
Just watch
Give it a
wait.
Chance. It's got... Okay. It's got Mia Wasikowska in it.
Sold!
And Alice in Wonderland girl.
Oh, man.
Helen
even
Bonham
more
Carter.
And...
Is she in
it? Huh?
Okay.
And...
I think it's Helen Bonham Carter
no,
in it.
No.
Like,
eh. No. So, okay. Basically, it's just... It aired 5 days a week, which was weird. But each day would be a different therapy
yeah.
session. And I think there were 30-minute episodes. It might have been an hour. But they get more intense as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
I think the first season was like 60 episodes.
Apparently someone dug up a West Wing clip where Martin Sheen goes to a psychiatrist and talks to the psychiatrist about how his dad beat him, and then he finally stood up to him.
Oh, and that thing happened in Newsroom. What do you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I get
on.
It, Evan. I get it. Okay?
I get it. Just saying.
I get it. That doesn't diminish the fact
has,
that I
this
enjoy...
Has gone beyond, this has even gone beyond my complaint with Tarantino.
That doesn't
I mean
that I don't
enjoy... At least Tarantino
enjoy...
doesn't recycle actual scenes. He just sort of recycles a tone, I feel like.
That doesn't mean that I still don't enjoy what I'm seeing on... Like, I can, for an hour, just not care about anything except for what's happening on my TV screen, and that's good enough. Damn it. And Skype dropped again, so right in the height of our conversation.
Yep.
So
I was about
to
make some slight towards you, but then it cut out.
That's fine, because I made some kind of anger remark. I don't know. Go back and listen to it. And
yeah. Sorry about that.
be ashamed or whatever the fuck. I'm going to move back to my chair because I feel like it might have something to do with an internet connection. Then I'm also going to turn off my PC.
So, all right.
I have a question for Evan.
Yes. On his back.
Wes Anderson's films. Yes. Do all of his characters kind of talk in that same sort of awkward kind of... You know what I'm saying? Kind of.
Not all of them.
Most of them.
Because you could say that that is sort of him recycling a tone.
Most of them.
Yes. I find his tone less grating and also so unique that I give him a pass.
Mm.
I really want to shove something off a table right now for how hypocritical that sounds.
Yeah, that sounded pretty hypocritical.
Not hypocritical. There's nothing to do. My issue with Tarantino isn't just that he recycles the tone, it's that I don't like the tone.
Okay, well then go suck.
I don't find his movies a special.
Well, no, that's fair. I get it. Just don't say that that's like a. That makes his movies. Like, recycling the tone. You should make it more clear you just don't like the tone.
Also, that's. Wes Anderson does not recycle his tone that thoroughly either. Rushmore is a very different movie stylistically to the Royal Tenenbaums.
I don't know. Yeah.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Everyone's breaking up. Yeah.
Okay. Recap. Wes Anderson doesn't really do that because his movies are pretty stylistically different from one another. Even if they could fall under the same umbrella, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's about all I did with my weekend, I think.
Uh-huh.
Weekend at the Tenenbaums.
What?
I think he was trying to make, like, a Weekend at Bernie's with the Royal Tenenbaums joke.
No, I got it. What? So, Clint, what have you been doing?
Okay, so I hurt my back, and I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
That's rough.
Yeah.
I feel ya.
No, you don't. No, you don't. It hurts. It hurts to laugh, and it hurts to cry. Both of those come at the same time.
Trust me when I say I have been there before. Back injuries are no fun.
I have back problems, too.
So I
understand.
And then to top it all off, yesterday I was going to go run a couple of errands, and I pull out of my parking spot and realize that I have a flat tire. The flattest of flat tires, actually. This is completely flat and unrepairable. So that, coupled with my back pain, made for a very interesting trip to the discount tire. Where I got a new tire.
How did you injure your back?
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. It just, I woke up and was like, oh, fuck, that hurts.
What if you've been sleepwalking as a weightlifting champion and you lifted a little bit too much?
That's probably it.
All right.
So anyway, I have been trying various methods to get rid of this back pain, starting with an ice pack. That didn't help. Well, it did kind of help because, you know, the ice is kind of massagey and icy. And then I tried one of those icy hot packs, and you can't put those on your back. They're like sticky things. You can't put them on your back whenever like your spine is the thing that hurts, and so you can't really reach back there. So it's difficult.
Yeah.
And then after I got done with the flat tire issue and I did go on a couple of errands, including going to the famous footwear and getting some new shoes, so that's cool, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
One of the days, I think my back's hurt for like 2 days now, maybe three. I can't remember because the pain has been searing and very unwelcome. I didn't sleep.
I like my steak seared.
Okay. I like my medium rare, so.
Okay. Evan, no, I actually like a medium well.
Evan, how do you want to weigh in on the steaks?
I'm a medium rare kind of guy.
That's how a steak should be cooked.
Yeah, you want it. You just want it rare enough so you can really taste blood.
Yeah.
See, I don't like
rare. So, really just want to drain the life force out of that thing.
Yeah, you out of that dead me. Thing.
Yeah.
Sounds like heaven.
So then I watched the True Blood episodes that I missed.
Of course you did.
That show's pretty bad now.
Was it bad to start with?
Yeah.
Was it ever bad to start with?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of liked the first season.
Huh?
The second season was pretty shitty. Third season was also pretty shitty. And the fourth season was definitely the worst out of all of those.
So, and yet here we are.
On the fifth season.
So, it's like if Angel was all season four, mostly.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe. I mean, this has fairies and vampires and werewolves and shapeshifters. What else bullshit is in there? In this season, they've got some kind of like smoke monster demon. They also have mediators and witches.
Mediators?
No, not mediators in a mediating sense, but like mediators in like, you know, they talk to the dead.
I know.
And let's see. So anyway, this season is all over the place. There are like five different storylines going on at the same time. And they're not syncing together at all. And so it's just kind of a mess of bullshit. It's not good, but yet I'm still watching it. They did kill a kid though. Killed a kid vampire.
Woohoo.
He exploded. Vampires explode when you stake them. It's pretty cool. And they had a guy who looked exactly like one of the guys on one of like the evil vampires on Angel. He's dead. Ew. I don't know. I can't remember. And there's also been like a severe lack of anything redeeming. So there.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
It's not a great start for a season when you say there's a big lack of anything redeeming.
Well, it's seven episodes into the season.
Oh. Okay. So you watched seven episodes of True Blood.
No, I watched five one after the other.
Oh, okay.
So
that's much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It might have been only four. Why is Walter continuing to call me? I can't.
Just broke the fourth wall a little bit there.
Well, he keeps calling me, and it's kind of bullshit whenever he can tell that I'm in a call. So anyway, I don't even know if it's him calling me. It could be like a 911 call, and that's all he can get out is a Skype call to the nearest person that he knows, which is me.
Now he's gonna die.
Because
you had to yak it up about dumb video games on your dumb podcast.
Turns out it's his wife. Okay. All right.
She's probably just trying to coordinate your guys' next meetup.
Sure.
Since the affair you're having with that. Yeah. That's what I'm trying
yes
to.
Yeah. Don't tell Walter. He doesn't listen to this, does he?
No. I hope not.
Okay, that's good, because it's not
we're
his
definitely
baby.
Not gonna edit this.
It's not his baby. I just want to put that
right
out there.
Yeah.
So
you thought that the fact he came out of the womb with a Gossip Girl t-shirt on would have been some indication.
It's a girl. So then what I put Metal Gear Solid on my 360, but I didn't put it in because I was going to play it whenever I didn't sleep, like two nights ago.
You know what? Let's just stop beating around the bush here. You don't like Metal Gear Solid.
No. It was, I then realized, okay, I can't sleep, but that doesn't mean I'm not really, really tired and like, yeah, so I wouldn't be able to make sense of what was going on. So, anyway. I swear I did something. I tried out that Jurassic Park Builder game, and that's dumb.
It's dumb?
It's like Farmville, but with dinosaurs.
That doesn't that sound sounds dumb. Awesome. Sounds amazing.
Do you farm dinosaurs?
No, you just...
Do you have like a velociraptor tree?
No.
If I pay $5, can I get 5 T-Rexes?
You can get, like, 50 fake dollars.
Pardon me, 5 T-Rex seeds that will grow into T-Rexes?
Sure. I did watch Casino Royale, so.
That's also a movie.
Yeah. It was,
I haven't seen a James Bond movie.
You should watch a James Bond movie.
Yeah, which one should I watch?
He likes his martini shaken, not stirred.
You're not missing much.
You can watch. Let's see. I mean,
Gold Member.
You can watch any of them because they're practically all the same.
Actually, mm-hmm. The new one. Well, Quantum of Solace is a piece of shit, but Casino Royale is definitely different. Because it's the, you know, like the origin story for 007. So he's a lot more on the edge. But the script is kind of terrible because they call out one of the major themes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that James Bond has a big ego?
Is that true?
They said it like 10 times.
Mm.
There was one line, take the next one. I don't think this elevator can fit me and your ego. She was basically calling herself fat, so.
I see. That's how you choose to read into that one. I bet that's what Bond thought to himself to make himself feel better after that happened.
Yep. And then he licked the metaphorical blood off of her fingers while she was crying in the shower.
What?
Is there a reference there I'm supposed to get?
Nope.
Or are you just being really fucking weird?
No, that happens in the movie.
She licks metaphorical blood off her fingers?
Yeah, while she's crying in the shower. Watch Casino Royale, you guys. It totally happens.
Well, what does it mean, metaphorically, to lick the blood off one's fingers?
He licks the metaphorical blood. Like, the blood isn't real, she just thinks it is.
I just want to move past this as quickly as possible.
And so he starts sucking on her fingers while she's crying, probably making her cry even more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if Daniel Craig...
invasion of privacy.
Just think about it. If Daniel Craig is, like, licking your fingers, if you're going to start crying or not.
Yeah,
that
happens all the time right before I cry. Mm-hmm. I start crying and I look down. It's just, come on, Craig.
Oh, hey, Evan. Did you ever notice that you cry when it rains?
Did I ever notice that? No.
No, you're supposed to say, but everybody cries when it rains. And then Tommy Lee Jones would say, no, it rains because you cry.
Oh! Oh, man, that explains it. I need to get depressed and fast, because we have quite the drought over here right now.
So, that is Men in Black 2, which I did not watch, but...
It's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad movie. I'm certain that I did something that I just can't remember.
Well, do you want to hear a fun fact?
Is it about Men in Black?
Oh, boy, do I.
That we have not prepared for in any way, shape, or form?
What?
Guess when the very first error report dropped.
I don't know.
It was July 31st, 2011.
Ooh, it's a ghost! Right?
It's actually an anniversary, but I guess...
Oh, an anniversary! It's an anniversary ghost. It is Casper.
See, because it's July 31st right now.
Yeah. Breaking all kinds of illusions tonight.
You post these episodes immediately after we're done with them.
Yeah, sort of.
Sometimes I wait. Damn fast.
Well, it's sometimes like I wait until Monday. I mean, it just depends on Monday when we record today. Them. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, that's right.
Not me.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot that I was the only one willing to podcast on Monday.
I didn't sleep.
And whose fault is that?
I was,
and I couldn't even do anything unless you want to hear some Armenian guys in the background.
I actually do.
And whose fault is that?
Not mine. It's my grandparents' fault for the internet failing. Huh?
Oh, oh, I see. It's not like you have a blanket over your head right now. It's not like you couldn't have done that on
is that
Monday.
A metaphor for something?
Oh, yeah,
it's a metaphor.
The theoretical wool over your eyes.
Yes.
Man, yeah. That's deep.
So,
I installed a CD drive or a DVD drive into my computer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Guys, it's been a year of our podcast.
Oh, right. We were talking about that. Sorry, I was trying to plug in my 3DS.
Why?
Because I took it off for like a second.
So, yeah. It's been a year of our podcast. That's pretty crazy, huh?
I mean, I guess. Okay, so you want more enthusiasm.
Throw to the fucking break.
Dude, you guys, it's been a year. Matthew.
Yeah.
It's been a year since the first error report. And yet, this is only episode 44.
Yeah, that's because we missed a couple weeks because of
We've only missed 8. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, that's not that good.
I mean, considering the fact that it only takes 3 hours out of our day and...
Well, I know there was one time where we didn't podcast for a month and then another time when we didn't podcast for like a couple weeks, but...
We didn't podcast for a month?
Yeah, it was between episode 4 and 5, I think.
It's very well...
I have a good memory.
Why didn't we?
Because I can't do it. Oh, we were waiting for the new graphic. That was it.
That is definitely not it. I'm not going to hold off on a podcast just for a new graphic.
Yeah, that we buffer our podcast with. You know, when we post a podcast, we have the error report thingy. It looked shittier before. And
yeah,
we were waiting.
I know that. I'm saying that I don't think we waited a month solely to get that.
Well, I know. I think that was the excuse we were telling ourselves.
No, that wouldn't have been the excuse.
Or we just couldn't be on it for, you know, a month.
That's probably more likely.
So yeah. Anyway, month of error.
It's a year.
Oh, right. Shit.
You wanted to say the word year.
Yeah, it's like a month and a half. I mean, it's a month and a half worth of content, because if you think about it, 44 days.
Doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it's podcast comes up. I wish I could see things.
Impersonating yourself, Clint?
No, I was impersonating Matthew me.
That's meta.
I know.
Okay, I actually, before we throw to break, I have this pretty interesting statistic. Guess about, this is a rough estimate, obviously, how many hours we've podcasted.
A rough estimate?
Rough estimate.
Let's see, so... I can't, I don't...
Oh, no, wait, no, that's not right. Between 70 and 80.
Hours?
Yeah.
No, it's been more than that.
So
yeah, that was my bad.
A week.
It's about 150 to 170.
Okay, you overshot it. It's anywhere from 110 to 130 hours.
Okay.
Of raw podcast.
That's pretty cool. That's a lot of hours.
That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of hours of me sitting in this chair talking into this microphone.
Mm-hmm. We and can do better. And a lot of hours of me doing things.
Yeah.
And 100 hours of Ryan playing video games while he podcasts with us.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Well, we put a stop to that about 60 hours in.
He continues to do it, and I continue to tell him not to. Also, by the way, guess who bought Asura's Wrath?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The big... How the Mighty have fallen.
He was complaining... Pride
goeth before the fall.
He was complaining earlier this week that he wasn't going to buy it because it was $60, and he doesn't want a five-hour game. It's not 5 hours, first of all. And he didn't want a five-hour QTE event for worth $60. So we went into GameStop, and it was only $30.
Yeah. And then we called him a reductionist asshole, and I think he wised up.
Yep. That's whenever he was like, man, maybe I should buy this.
Yep.
Can I break now?
Yep. I just wanted to...
This heavy blanket is so hot.
Break!
How's the internet doing?
Penises and vaginas.
Okay.
Oh, and welcome back. We are going to do the news now. Evan, what you got for us?
What have I got? I've got some news.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two pieces of news that are very closely tied together. Star Wars The Old Republic... subscriptions have dropped below 1 million. They did say it's well above 500,000, which is what they need to break even. In unrelated news, Star Wars The Old Republic is going to become free to play in the fall.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually excited for that. Sorry,
yeah,
me too. I was reading this.
I want to play it now.
I was reading this.
No, I don't have to pay a dime for it.
It's a pretty good game if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, it actually is pretty good for an MMO.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other MMO that I actually got into was Guild Wars, and I mean, Guild Wars 2 comes out at the end of August, so...
Say, Quinn, Ryan want to buddy up with me and go through the Knights of the Old Republic when that goes free to play?
You mean the Old Republic?
Yeah.
And not with you, no.
Okay. I'll let you and Ryan, you know, do what you guys do.
Okay. Evan, you can join us if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I find MMOs sort of soul-crushing.
And yet you bought the Secret World.
And
the Old Republic.
I did cancel my subscription after my computer, like, kept fucking up. But if I get it working again, I probably will play that for a little while.
Okay.
I'm not claiming my actions are sensible.
They are not.
So did you know that this Tuesday, Grand Theft Auto 3 was supposed to be coming to PSN?
No.
I believe not, no.
Well, it isn't. Apparently, Sony released a statement today saying that due to an unforeseen complication, the Grand Theft Auto 3 PS2 Classic is not publishing with today's store post. We will update you when a new release date has been identified. Well, so all those people looking to get their nostalgic open world action on gonna have to wait a little while.
Or get it for the iPad.
Yeah.
Or Steam.
Yeah, either of those things.
Yeah.
Steam
being the best.
So here's a piece of news that should surprise zero people. New Super Mario Bros. 2 sold well in Japan.
What?
So, apparently...
Matthew, stop blowing into the microphone.
Yeah, sorry.
Evan, right, stop moving yours so much.
Huh?
You're moving
stop
yours
moving
a little.
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So yeah, the sales
podcast
of NSMB2, as us on the inside
Matthew.
Call it.
Matthew?
Yeah.
Stop blowing into your mic.
I'm breathing.
Yeah, I know. Breathe somewhere else. No, stop.
Okay.
So yeah, NSMB2 mm-hmm. reached 430,000 units in its first 2 days on sale in Japan.
That's fun.
In addition, the 3DS XL sold 200,000 units in the same 2 days. So, also it says here that it should be noted these numbers only count retail sales, as New Super Mario Bros. 2 was also available digitally.
Except didn't they have, like, some problems with the servers or whatever?
Yeah.
Trying to download that thing?
I have no information pertaining to that.
Okay,
here,
well, I was trying to start a conversation, but yes, there were some problems with their download service. They claim they fixed them, but for, like, the first day, no one could actually download the game.
Hmm.
Yep.
So, David Jaffe wrote a blog post about the future of Twisted Metal. He said that, you know, the last Twisted Metal sold okay. He described it as not a dud, not a hit, but that if he was to return to the series, he'd like to do a smaller downloadable title. And,
who now?
The quote, yeah, the quote here is...
No, who? What? What are we talking
David
about?
David Jaffe.
Okay.
Twisted Metal.
Thank you.
We would find an art style that fits the game but allows us to keep the budget down, he says. Or we'd go photoreal, but just accept we're not going to compete with current-gen visuals and budget/charge accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I would like the Twisted Metal that's downloadable. That sounds like a good way to keep the, you know, racing car mayhem genre alive. But
right. I mean, I bought Twisted Metal. That's mm-hmm. That's a good game. But obviously, I'm not sure there's a place for that sort of game in disc format, like you're saying, Matthew.
Yeah, just like adventure games aren't exactly what they used to be, but you can still keep them aligned on smaller fronts.
Yeah, or L.A. Noire.
Or L.A. Noire.
Or you could just do that.
So, this is a weird story. Apparently, this is still a report, like, no one's confirmed this yet. This report out of Ukraine that says that Bethesda has acquired the publishing rights to the Stalker franchise.
You mean like Call of Pripyat and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That open world survival sim mm-hmm. that was kind of like a hardcore Fallout 3.
Yeah,
that's what they reportedly acquired the publishing rights to.
Same guys that made Metro 2033.
Yeah, the sequel to Stalker 2 was canceled earlier this year. So who knows if that played some role in it.
Would that be Stalker 3?
I think it was just called Stalker 2. I don't think there was like a numbered sequel to Stalker.
No. I don't know. I'm just talking now.
So, Ouya. Who here loves Ouya?
I have no real feelings of positivity or negativity towards it.
Well, how would you feel if Final Fantasy III...
Ooh, yeah. I just, no.
You know, the actual Final Fantasy III?
Yeah.
Not Final Fantasy III, that's secretly Final Fantasy
VI.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ouya announced a partnership with Square Enix. I'm sorry, this might be the best thing I've ever read.
Sorry, I'm making fun of the name while not being impressed.
Yeah, that's maybe the... That's not a victory. That's just Square Enix saying, yeah, we'll work with you, Ouya. Yeah, here's Final Fantasy III.
I'm just staring at... I'm just staring at this sentence, and, like, everything about it is just hilarious. the makers of the Android-based console Ouya announced a partnership with Square Enix, which includes an HD remake of the old-school RPG Final Fantasy III. So, we've got, first of all, this console that's based on the Android OS,
mm-hmm.
announcing just this out-of-the-blue partnership with a publisher who is, rather than remaking one of the games everybody wants to be remade, remaking arguably the worst game in their classic franchise in HD for the console. So, good on ya.
Yeah.
This release will mark the first first time the game will be playable on televisions outside of Japan.
Fantastic.
Sure. They describe it as glorious graphic detail.
Those sprites will leap off the television.
Dear Esther is a video game.
Yeah, it's not a very good one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
The developer of Dear Esther has announced a new open world game, which is a spiritual successor called Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. That is the name of the video game.
Wait, weren't they working with the Amnesia dudes?
Yeah, they're probably working on two things.
Yeah. That might be another thing, but
that's kind of weird that they're, because I mean they're not exactly a huge company.
Yeah, that's true. But creative director Dan Pinchbeck has some stuff to talk about this game. He says that the game is locked to 60 minutes, so I guess that implies that it'll end after that period of time. He says, since the world takes about 20 minutes to walk diagonally, you'll want to play it several times to see what you missed. What you've managed to experience and achieve at the end of that time is your story, etc. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture tells the story of six characters whom you'll interact with, but the team is uncertain how they'll be implemented. They're almost kind of memory traces of people that were there, he says, and how we represent them and whether we'll do full-on character builds or whether we do something more symbolic we're still kind of chewing around with. Hmm. So, that is...
I mean, it's cool that they're doing, you know, these kind of weird offshoot art house games. I mean, I'm open to it. I just didn't really care for Dear Esther.
Yeah, it was, you know, it looked pretty.
Yeah, it did look pretty.
PlanetSide 2, the beta is beginning rather soon.
Cool.
There's no release date for the game, nor a beta date, but there's just a statement saying, like, hey, if you signed up, look at your email soon, because something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know anything about PlanetSide, but there's that. Then finally... The last piece of news I have here, Borderlands 2 pre-orders are the third highest in Take-Two history.
Ooh, right, Borderlands 2, yeah, Borderlands.
What were the other two?
Grand Theft Auto 4 and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
That's really impressive.
Woo, Borderlands, yeah.
I didn't realize Gearbox was owned by Take-Two, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Guys.
What? Well,
they're remaking the Brady Bunch.
Didn't they do that already?
Vince Vaughn is producing a Brady Bunch reboot. It's going to be on CBS. So, there you go.
This doesn't belong in 21st century America. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. Anyway. That's that. That's all I got. I don't know.
That's pretty lame.
Paranormal Activity 4 is totally a thing.
Sure.
Great.
And... Yep.
Okay.
That's all I got. I don't know anything. Why
don't we throw it a break?
I don't know.
No one gave us questions.
Okay. Not even miles.
Hey, yeah. Fuck you guys. Fuck you.
Yep.
Fuck you. We're going to go to break, so fuck you. Fuckers.
I don't know what to say. I apologize.
Apology accepted.
I'm just so sorry.
It's all right. Just don't let it ever happen again.
I'm trying to better myself.
Don't let it happen again!
Okay.
Hello, and we have questions, because Miles is a good person.
Yeah.
Way to go, Miles! You're the best! Give yourself a pat on the back. And a high five from me. So there we go. Miles asks, what's your favorite version of Doctor Who? And I think I'm the only one here who actually watches Doctor Who.
Yes.
Yeah. And Matthew's gone. So, whatever. Just figured that out. That could have been like 14 to 20 minutes ago, so I don't know. Anyway, no, I like the current Doctor, and I also like David Tennant. I never really watched the old stuff, but I really like how quirky the new Doctor is, so yeah. Cool beans. Hey, Evan?
Yeah?
I know that you don't really have a heart.
That's true.
But Miles really wants to know what your favorite classic Disney animated movie is.
Pinocchio.
That's a terrible answer.
You know what else is terrible?
I don't like Pinocchio.
You and your face?
Yeah.
That's also terrible.
Okay. Lion King is the easy answer, but it's true. So, anyway, what is the least favorite movie of yours that you've actually seen in the theaters?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I saw Jack and Jill in the theater.
So that's probably your answer.
That's probably my answer.
John
Carter was pretty goddamn awful.
So I don't know. I mean, if I was to say this year, if I was to say this year, I don't know. I mean,
Dark Knight Rises.
Let me just go down the list here. I mean, I saw Hunger Games, Cabin in the Woods,
Yeah, obviously.
Avengers, Prometheus. I saw something else in between.
You saw The Dark Knight Rises.
Saw The Dark Knight Rises, Amazing Spider-Man, Moonrise Kingdom.
Out of that list, I mean, I haven't seen Prometheus.
It's the most divisive.
Yeah, I think Amazing Spider-Man is worse than Dark Knight Rises.
I think that Amazing Spider-Man is a fun popcorn movie, and that's all I was expecting out of it, and so yeah. I enjoyed it, you know?
I guess Spider-Man is better than Dark Knight Rises.
I
need to start thinking more of what I actually thought of that movie rather than what other people thought. Sometimes I just forget, and I'm like, oh yeah, Dark Knight Rises. Good movie. And I was like, no, wait, I actually really like that movie.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of those, and you know, I really want to see Prometheus again. Just because I need to see it without the alien context. Like, I want to go into it thinking, all right, let me see a sci-fi movie, not let me see an alien prequel. And I feel like I might like it a little bit more. Because the entire time I was thinking, you know, where's the alien connection, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know, the worst movie that I've seen like shot, like let's go by this. What is the worst cinematography in a movie this year? And that is The Hunger Games.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but that sounds
it's
right.
It's kind of shitty cinematography. So let's go with that.
Okay.
What hobbies do you enjoy?
I am a prolific wakeboarder. Every day, man. It's out there crashing against the wave. Is that a wave thing? Is that a water thing?
Yeah.
Crashing against the waves.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling the breeze. Getting pumped.
Hmm.
No, I mean, I write. That's about all I do.
Mm-hmm.
I play video games. I sometimes watch movies.
Right. Sometimes or all the
time? Sometimes. Occasionally. Now and then.
Okay. Yeah, no. Video games, movies, television. I watch a lot more television than Evan does.
That's very true.
I also tend to write and...
I'm big into cosplay.
Comics. And stuff. Those are all real for me. Evan hasn't said a single thing that's true except that he likes to write and play video games.
I write a lot of fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
My television show is just an elaborate newsroom fan fiction, actually.
You know, at this point, why don't we just make the fourth segment be reading my hilariously bad fan fiction?
Sure.
All right.
Down with that.
This is back whenever I was like 12, so.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
It's terrible, so.
So
anyway, I'll have to read it. I'll have to read it from the author's perspective.
I kind of want to read it out loud, honestly.
We'll make characters.
I think I have a good authorial voice.
We'll make characters.
Okay.
Also,
for everybody listening, if you go to OKCupid and look for the profile Warm Cow's Milk, no apostrophe. I've taken the liberty of setting up an OKCupid profile from Matthew. Here's the taste. On your favorite books, movies, shows, music, and food, I put, I love Christopher Nolan movies and deep shit like that. Stuff that makes me think and shit, you know?
So, and just one more little taste. His education is graduated from space camp.
That's my favorite part. He's unemployed, but he graduated from space camp. He's also fluent in C++, okay in Welsh, but very poor in both Bengali and English. So, he'd also rather not talk about his body type. So, yeah, look for it. Yeah. Also, be sure to scroll over to the questions page where he has answered numerous questions, like which would you rather be, normal or weird? Explanation, after he selected weird, is... I'm comfortable with myself. What about you, fucker?
All right. So everyone look at that, and back to the questions.
Back to questions.
Do you have any irrational fears?
I have a... See, I'm really trying to come up with something funny. And I can't.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, I have an irrational fear of raccoons.
I have an irrational... That's a very rational fear. Actually, I have an irrational fear of desperately trying to come up with something funny on a podcast and failing.
But I do not like spiders.
Yeah.
But not so far as to have arachnophobia.
Of people doing shit to me while I'm asleep. I don't like that very much.
I should probably stop then.
Yeah, stop. Stop taking photos of me while I sleep.
And... Remember the last time you woke up and you had whipped cream on your hand and you slapped your face?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That wasn't me. Cream? That wasn't me.
Okay.
That was somebody else.
I was gonna say...
I'm not into that frat shit, alright?
I am glad that was whipped cream, because I was much more dismayed when I woke.
Okay. Who's on first?
Who's on first? Who is? Everybody knows that. Who's on first?
I find that question really funny because we actually did talk about Abbott and Costello like right before, like at the beginning of the podcast. So anyway, now I feel like I have to
do star a bit pinch of this. Hitter Jeremy Who.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
Oh, that is a classic bit, comedy bit by Abbott and Costello. So if you guys have not heard Who's on First, it's on YouTube. You should watch it. It is...
Our guest today is Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, right? Yep. After the break here on NPR's Fresh Air.
So anyway, no, I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, that is comedy gold.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's fantastic.
Because the name of the player is who.
Okay, so are you just being facetious?
Do you mean to say facetious?
Yeah. Or do you not find it funny?
I don't know. It's okay.
I feel like I don't know you anymore.
Did you ever?
No. Who's your favorite actor to portray Alfred Pennyworth?
I don't remember any of them besides Michael Caine.
There was that other old guy who was in...
Michael Caine.
Oh. Michael Caine, yeah. I've buried enough members of the Wayne family. No, the guy who was in Holy Musical Batman plays a pretty great Alfred.
Sure.
Slash other characters. Watch it. It's funny. Yeah.
New question.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yes.
What would you think of Batman if there were no iconic villains and he just went around beating up nameless thugs all day?
I would call him a perfect metaphor for the American military.
So, last question. Every person with the initials JB, James Bond, Jack Bauer, Jason Bourne, Jack Black, Justin Bieber, Jimmy Buffett, etc., get into
Hold
a
on,
fight.
Wait, what was that last one?
Jimmy Buffett.
Okay, that's JB. That checks out.
Gets into a fight. Who wins? Gotta find out who all the JB
Jeb Bush. That's the brother of our president, George W. Bush. Jeb Bush would win. Is what I'm sticking with.
Yahoo Answers actually asked the question, famous initials with Jelly Bean, or JB, and Jelly Bean is the first answer. Jason Bateman. Probably get pretty far.
Probably.
And Jessica Biel.
Sure. She'd distract all of them with her feminine wile.
That's all I got.
So Miles also filled us in on what his games of the year have been so far.
Yeah, because we did ask this question, and we actually got a couple of answers, and we'll read out a couple.
Yeah, so Miles said that, currently I'd say Asura's Wrath is my favorite game this year. I plan to buy the DLC soon.
Good, do it.
I find that it surpasses all my expectations.
It should, because it's great.
Max Payne 3 is really great as well, and when I have the time to finish it, it may be my game of the year.
It's pretty great, too.
Mass Effect 3 was very good as well.
Yes.
And because it's the only other game I've bought this year, Ghost Recon Future Soldier is a decent shooter.
That is probably true. So also, Michael Yanos, I believe that's how you say your name, I'm not entirely sure. He says, for me, it's a toss-up between Mass Effect 3 and Fez. He goes on to say that Mass Effect 3 was brilliant and a superb way to end the series. He didn't think that the ending was the best part of the game. It was actually well done. And he was thinking and discussing what effect his decision had on the universe long after the ending was over. And also, Fez, he thought it looked pretty fun, but before he knew it, had a full 4 pages of graph paper covered in the insane scribblings of Phil Fish's cube language.
Hey, you know what? You know what? What's an interesting thing about Michael is that he's right, because Fez is the best game of the year so far.
Fez is a work of pure genius, and like all my favorite video games, I'd give anything to experience it for the first time again.
Yep. And then video contributor Kyle Locke, host of the recently ended Community Replay, his is probably Mass Effect 3, just because it was the end of an amazing story arc.
Mm-hmm.
He always loves it when a story ends in a way that makes people really think and not have every answer put out in front of them. Leaving it open for interpretation can work wonders when done well, and he thinks BioWare did well. So.
Also, Alex Greeley, former super fan, now just regular fan, hasn't bought any games that came out this year.
So, yeah, he's not he's not quite qualified to speak.
No,
on it yet.
No. But Evan, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your top game of the year so far? Fez. We're at the mid-year.
Fez.
Fez, you say?
Fez.
Okay.
Fez is the one and only answer.
I actually listed out all the games that I played this year, that came out this year, and I didn't put them in any particular order, so I'll just start from the bottom of this list. I played Sniper Elite V2. We didn't do a review of that, but only because it's just, meh.
It's just meh.
Meh. Prototype 2. Yeah. I wasn't too big on it, but...
Right.
Yeah, I played it so much later after all the reviews went up that I didn't think that it would get any traction. So I was just like, I'll just discuss it on the podcast, which I did exhaustively. SSX, I didn't play enough of that, but it wasn't fun because I didn't understand how to do tricks. Journey is fantastic.
Journey is way... This is really... I know everybody every year says it's the year of the downloadable game, but this year for me is really the year of the downloadable game.
So actually, like, I'm going to start numbering the rest of these. So like, let's start back a little bit.
Sure. I can think of probably 4 or 5 downloadable games that might be on my top 10 list at the end of this year.
Like, yeah.
Phenomenal year.
So, I played Lego Batman 2, and I did a review of Lego Batman 2. It's a pretty fun game for a Lego game. So, yep. Spec Ops The Line. It's a great story. Middling gameplay.
Yeah. Pretty middling.
And so then I'm going to start numbering these. The Walking Dead is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to nail that down before it's like finished,
right? But what it's been doing so far has been great. At least for me. I don't know if you finished it yet, but the second episode anyway. But yeah, that is slowly becoming a contender for Game of the Year, if it's done by the time that comes around. And then I'd probably put Journey right above that.
Yeah.
And then Asura's Wrath, right above that. And then we're talking Fez.
Fez.
Which is fantastic.
Fez then, is secretly the best game of the year, but continue.
And then Mass Effect 3. And my number one game of this year is Max Payne 3, which is just the greatest combination of storytelling and gameplay that has been done this year.
Man, I really converted you fast on Max Payne.
It
was not a day after I said, you know, you should really play Max Payne that you were suddenly talking about how Max Payne 2 is like one of your favorite games of all time.
Well, that's just because I never played them before. Like, if I had gotten around to it, it probably would be the exact same way. But I mean, like, you introduced it to me earlier than I thought I was going to end up picking them up. So, I mean, they're fantastic games and fantastic stories and just really, really great gameplay and a character that is just so terrible that it's great. And I mean that in he's such a terrible decision maker. Everything he does only destroys himself and the people around him that much more. He is the most destructive character in video games.
Yeah, also just that game is written so well. Did you have an issue with difficulty in that game? Because everybody talks about how hard that game is, and I didn't really.
I mean, there were a couple points when I died, and it might have been like one or two more than a regular game, but no.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I played through that game most of the way on all three difficulties.
The last mission was kind of hard. I mean, last mission isn't,
it is the last mission.
Yeah.
But then the last mission ends with that, like, crazy amazing jump in this Jeep and shoot down this airplane with a grenade launcher sequence. That game is just really, really well written.
And I kind of want to play it again. I think closer to the end of the year, I want to go back and I want to play through that story again.
I mean, I went through it and got all of the golden gun parts.
That just seems kind of...
It's a little grueling.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. But, you know, it was sort of a testament to how much fun I was having with that game, because I never go back for collectibles. And I was like, you know what, I want to make an effort at getting some more achievement points in this, because I like it that much. Mm-hmm. And I still stand by what I said. I think that is Rockstar's finest game to date, which many people may disagree with me, but I think it has the best main character. I think the dialogue is the best written, and I think the only thing that could be said, I don't think like the broad strokes of the story are as good as the broad strokes of the story in Red Dead Redemption, but gameplay is, I think, far superior to anything they've done in the past.
Well, so. I don't really consider Max Payne 3 to be like a narrative about the people around Max as much as it is about Max himself.
Yeah,
and it's really weird to do in video games, like an introspective story about a character. It's not
do that in Red Dead Redemption 2. With John Marston, but I think to a less successful degree.
Yeah, I mean, like with John Marston, it's like through 3/4 of the game, you're just like, I want to get back to my family.
Yeah. And he has also to do his. It just dawned on me the other day that not the voice acting, but the way his voice sounds is really terrible. Like if you close your eyes, it just sounds like some sort of high school meathead. It's really sort of distracting. Whereas James McCaffrey is Max Payne.
Yeah. Oh. One vice at a time. No, but with John Marston, I was not a fan whenever you had to play like 5 or 6 missions on the ranch at the end of the game.
You know, I guess I really do respect that from a narrative standpoint, I can really get behind the idea of... Can I spoil Red Dead Redemption?
Dude, it's from 2009.
Okay. I really respect the very deliberate, like... And there's some great stuff in those segments where, like, you see the bandits... and you're like, you know, should I go fight these bandits? And it was very tense for me the whole time because I was like, I know something awful's going to happen
right.
to this character. So all of these seemingly banal tasks suddenly became like, okay, now I'm out hunting with my kid. Is some jackoff going to like shoot me in the head while I'm out here? Mistake me for a deer or something? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how is this going to end? And then just like the... That game is like three endings. It has the first ending after you kill the guy you're supposed to, and you're just riding back to your ranch. And that has the second ending where Marston dies, and then the third final ending that you can totally miss.
Yeah.
Where you go and get vengeance. And that title card at the end is one of the most successful things I've seen as far as like... You shoot that guy into the lake, and then it cuts back and just cut to Red Dead Redemption title card and credits.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. But now we're talking about Red Dead Redemption instead of Max Payne 3.
Well, I was going to say, like, Red Dead seems to be, like, a lot of... as the story goes on, there's this overarching narrative of Marston trying to get back to his family, but then there are all these small motifs of different types of Western stories.
Right. It becomes, at a point, I think the reason I like Max Payne 3's narrative so much is how different it is, because Grand Theft Auto 4 and Red Dead Redemption kind of have a similar, is like, you play as this guy who is trying to get away from a troubled past, and he seeks the aid of the government, but is then manipulated by the government to further, and that's like... That is very much a theme throughout Rockstar's games, is sort of that, like, you know, don't trust authority thing. Which is all well and good, but it started to bother me when I finished Red Dead Redemption. I was like, you know, this is kind of like Grand Theft Auto 4. And then Max Payne 3 rolls around as just, like, this deep, complex character study.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be, like, it is Max Payne trying to get away from his troubled past... And then somebody using him.
Right, but they do enough interesting things with it.
Yes.
And also the fact that Max Payne was an existing character, like, to a certain extent, I'm okay with the fact that he's trying to get away from a troubled past, because that's not something Rockstar wrote.
His past is the most troubled. John Marston ain't got shit on
there
him.
There is a point in that game when he just wants to lay some flowers down at his wife's grave, and then he has to take cover behind it to shoot a bunch of goons. He has to literally use his wife's tombstone as a piece of just utterly unimportant cover in a shootout. That is how shitty his life is.
Yeah.
Just, man. Just such a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Not as great, however, as Fez.
I don't know, man. Max Payne 3 is pretty fantastic.
For me, my list would go Fez, Max Payne, Mass Effect, then something that I forget.
Just put Journey, Asura's Wrath.
Yeah, Journey would probably come after. Huh.
And then Asura's Wrath.
I'm now having the internal debate of whether or not I'd put Journey above Mass Effect 3. Which is, like, the weirdest debate to have in my head.
Yeah, because of how different they are. And that's what's weird about top 10 lists is, like, does this game that is completely different than this other game match in quality, scale, graphically, you know, sound? I mean, Journey's... Damn, Mass Effect 3 has a great soundtrack as well.
Right.
So does Max Payne.
They all...
Fuck,
oh,
all
man.
Of them.
Max Payne, the kind of, like, main song that plays when you're going through the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Did you play all of the pianos in the game?
No.
Okay, this is not a spoiler for everyone listening, but if you haven't played Max Payne 3 yet, which you should, go through the game while playing every single piano that you find. The first piano... he doesn't really get enough notes. And then as it goes on, he gets more and more notes. And the final one is this brilliant cutscene in the midst of a terrible event happening. Him finding the time to play the Max Payne theme and realizing how shitty his life has gotten. And you can totally miss this amazing cutscene.
Right. Yeah, just, man. There's just so much to love in that game. And then, mm-hmm. you know, going back to, like, Mass Effect 3, there are choices I made in Mass Effect 3. There are things that mm-hmm. happened in that game that are more impactful than anything that's happened in the game before.
Yeah, like the choice between, you know, killing or letting a character live. I did something that nobody else on Arena Found Staff did.
And you're a fucker.
I am a terrible person, and I felt like the worst person in the world having to do that. But it is something that my Shepherd needed to do. It felt like the only thing my Shepherd could do to get to solve the mission. And like it gives you a right trigger response, like a renegade response, and that's how you have to shoot. And it hangs there. And I thought from, oh no. And it's this slow motion thing, like, no, okay. It gives you that time to process, like, what am I thinking? Am I actually thinking of shooting one of my best friends right now? Am I thinking of doing that?
It's like, you know, because I spent all three of those games building up a relationship with Liara, mm-hmm. Largely because she was the only non-douchey option for that in the first game. But, like, there is that scene at the end of the game, right before the big ending, that you can have with Liara.
Yeah.
That was just really hit hard. Like, because I've spent so much time with that character, like, getting to know that character.
Right.
Just such a... And even the ending, even just the kind of simplicity of the three choices of the ending, you know?
Yeah.
Do you want to...
And the music that plays during those endings is...
Yeah, like, every couple steps, there's, like, this thunderous drum. And, you know, I think, like, the ending I went with Green, for mm-hmm. those who are interested, I think is among, like, the best endings it's the best way I could imagine that series wrapping up.
And I chose Red, and I felt like that was the best way for the series to wrap up. Because exactly. of how we had shaped our Shepherds and how the story had gone for us. Like, even though there were only three endings, those three endings had more weight than a lot of endings in video games have ever accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. Even just sci-fi universes in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the theme sort of do you want to take an approach that's largely destructive, one that's sort of passive but could lead to more destruction, or just, like, reverting it all back to a primitive state?
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a... Like, for Mass Effect, the green ending is such a symbolic thing. Like,
it's space magic.
It's also space magic. So yeah, Mass Effect 3 is great. Journey. Yeah.
Journey, that fantastic ending in Journey.
Yeah, I do not have enough good things to say about Journey. Just, there's like, if you need a really good example of how a really short game can be impactful, then I think Journey is the way to go.
Right.
I would not want Journey to be a minute longer than it is.
Right. And I also, like, that does the co-op thing, you know, you just, like, you don't know who you're being cooperative with, and
mm-hmm.
some people are complete assholes, like the people that I played with, and that kind of diminishes the experience, but then you just let them go away, go do their own thing, and then they go away. But I had one person that I lost, and it was on the slide.
Don't even talk to me about this right now. I'm going to get all teary-eyed.
Well, it was on the slide.
This happened.
It was on the slide down, and we were having so much fun. We were chirping and flying up in the air as high as we could, and then falling gracefully back down and sliding some more. And then we went through separate tunnels, I believe it was, and then the path links back up together, and I didn't see him. And then I started chirping around and jumping up, but he wasn't there. And then it immediately ended, and I fell down into the next area, and I waited for like a good 5 to 10 minutes, chirping.
Just chirping.
Waiting for him, and he wouldn't come.
And then I met an asshole. I thought I only played with one person. Turns out it was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But I was just, as far as I knew, I was just cruising through this whole game because I beat it in one sitting. I was just cruising through all of it with this guy. And it was during the ending, which is sort of this very majestic heavenly ascent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not meant to be challenging. It's just very, like, fun and kind of weightless. And I fell. There's this part where there's a bridge, and I fell off the bridge down into the sandy area, and I couldn't get back up quickly enough. And when I got back up, he was just gone. And that was, like, 5 minutes before the ending.
And God, that's so much more depressing because I was so happy.
I was just so destroyed. And
oh,
it's like,
man.
That game manipulates you. It's like, we're going to take away your voice. Your voice is now this chirp. You chirp, and you can chirp quietly or loudly, and that's all you can do. And we're going to throw you in with an anonymous person, mm-hmm. and just see, like, how that goes. And then you get so connected to this person you don't know anything about, and then they're just gone.
Mm-hmm. And for all you know, they could be the same dickwad that calls you an asshole while you're playing Call of Duty.
Exactly. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I almost wish they didn't show you the gamer tags at the end of that game.
Yeah.
But they do. Because I'm like, ugh. You mean the guy I liked so much was
Triple X
420? Yeah, like, what? That's weird. But yeah. Just, man, just the music. Mm-hmm. One of the best video game soundtracks, I think, in terms of just being perfectly suited to that game.
I think this year has had more fantastic soundtracks that I can remember than a lot in years past.
Definitely. Like that whole scene where you're sliding down the sand, and there's this part where the camera shifts, and it's, like, right at dusk, so there's this orange light shooting through, and it's all purple, and you're just sliding down, and that music is playing. Mm-hmm. Man, just absolutely fantastic. Just the pinnacle of what I feel like that game company has been trying to achieve.
Yeah.
With both Flow and Flower. Like, they just hit the nail right on the head with this.
Yep.
And I think I might like it better than Mass Effect 3 now that I'm talking about it. And I feel awful for saying that, because the two games should not be. One is a story-driven 30-hour game, and the other is 2 hours at most, and no one ever talks in it. But damn. Just really so. So my thoughts on this year so far, absolutely stellar. I think I've had, by the halfway point, more just truly, truly amazing experiences with games in ways I wasn't expecting than I did last year.
Yeah, most definitely. This has been, for a year that I went into not thinking was going to be that great, has turned out to be much better than years past. I mean, even though a lot of these are sequels, you know, Max Payne 3, Mass Effect 3, Darkness 2, Lego Batman 2, I mean, it's just the level of quality has reached a height that I don't think we've seen in a very long time. Like, you can almost, and I really hesitate to say this, but you can almost put some of these games up against, you know, the 16-bit era, whenever games were just flat-out phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, like, even Dyad, which came out just recently, and I have my reservations about that. I really think the ending to that game is sort of perfect for what that game wants to do. And I described that in some detail on a podcast for not putting up, but that level is named Eye of the Duck, which is a reference to a theory that David Lynch has about surrealism. Like, what video game does that? When was that a thing that happened?
Dyad.
Like, it's just between Dyad and Fez. Like, Fez has an ending I absolutely love as well.
Yeah.
And it is amazing what ground is being broken in, especially the downloadable game scene right now.
Oh, most definitely.
And
you got things like Slender. No, I can't.
By the way, I posted I'm not sure if you saw this. I posted a poll in the group.
I did see it, and I chose to ignore it.
And it's pretty much unanimous. Everybody says that you should play it to completion regardless of you shitting your pants.
But I feel like after 20 minutes, the scare will not be scary anymore, and I'll just be boring.
You are mistaken, sir.
No, I really do feel like because the scare in that game is the jump scare of seeing Slenderman. And once you get past it, once I get past that and start thinking, oh yeah, I'm just walking through the woods and then some businessman, it's like I'm in Central Park.
Well, consider this. There are 8 pages and there are a bunch of weird places you have to go to find these randomly scattered 8 pages. If he finds you, it is game over and you have to try to find those 8 pages again.
Well, then it just gets frustrating and annoying.
I think you'll find it will maintain the level of scare. I think you're discounting the power of turning towards something without peripheral vision.
Wait, like, Ryan McGinley did our Fez review?
Yep.
Okay.
I really wanted to write a review on Fez, but it was published before I even knew what was what.
Yeah.
I
did a second opinion on it, and it's good.
It is good. It's the best game released this year.
Yeah.
So far. I'd say. You know why? That was a
terrible thing I just said.
You know why? Because you decode a fucking language.
Yeah.
Like, a whole language.
An entire language.
A whole one of those.
Sure. I reviewed Max Payne 2.
I reviewed Max Payne 3.
Right before I reviewed Max Payne 2.
We should end this podcast.
I'm just going through the year and seeing what reviews were posted.
By the way, this never made it to air, so I just want to say it here. Ryan McGinley, the idiotic, pathetic little fucker he is, decided that Minecraft 360 Edition was his favorite game so far this year. Minecraft. This isn't 2010. This is 2012. There are new experiences. Minecraft 360 Edition isn't even the best version of Minecraft. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
That's like saying, man, my favorite game from 1998, StarCraft 64. Brings StarCraft to a whole new audience. And split screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know Pikmin 2 came out on the Wii recently?
Yeah, and I've never played a Pikmin game.
They're fun.
Yeah, I kind of want to play one.
Oh shit, I forgot about Lollipop Chainsaw. That's my favorite game.
And I forgot about Quantum Conundrum, and that is definitely not my favorite game.
That game seems kind of like a total bummer.
It is. I
played about a third of it.
Like, but the puzzles aren't really puzzles. They're more like exercises and dexterity.
So they're like the least interesting puzzles of Portal, the game.
Yeah. And I mean, there are like 3 or 4 good puzzles in that game. And there is one good joke.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And the joke is a book cover. Actually, like, five of those book covers are pretty funny, but there are no audible lines of dialogue that even got a chuckle out of me.
Yeah.
At most, it got a sigh.
Ah, yeah, that's a pun.
Yeah.
You know what's a really good game?
Hmm.
Portal.
And Portal 2.
And Portal 2.
Now, which one do you like more?
Well, here's the thing. I have three games that are my favorite games. They're the only games I consider to be perfect, sort of unassailably perfect.
One of those is Final Fantasy VI.
That's true.
The other one is A Link to the Past.
That is also true.
And then Portal?
Yes, the third one is the original Portal.
The original Portal.
Yes. I think that Portal 2 is... If there was a way to be objective about these things, I'd say Portal 2 is a better game.
So, but Portal is such a unique experience that is playing a second game of that type is, even though it might be better, it is less of the experience that it was the first time?
Yeah, also, I mean, you know, I was talking about Journey's length. Portal is the perfect length.
I think it's like 5 hours? 4?
It's less than that. I actually... There was a time when I ran through Portal daily. Like, I was able to get it down. I think my fastest time was 52 minutes to beat Portal. So, yeah, not a long game at all when you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But just that is a game that teaches you by letting you do things. And it is a game that is utterly masterful in the way it presents its narrative.
Yes.
And it's like... Both the gameplay concepts and the narrative go hand in hand. As it unrolls its gameplay concepts, it unrolls its narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all culminates in the escape from the facility. Now, where you what have if... to put all your knowledge to use.
So if there was a narrative reason why Max Payne could use bullet time, would you think it was a perfect game?
No. No, I wouldn't. I'm afraid. And oh my god, the song! The song at the end of Portal. I know it's been overplayed.
Jonathan Colton.
Colton goddamn that song.
The fuckestuffus.
Jonathan Colton is the fuckestuffus. You can buy his albums on jonathancolton.com. I'd imagine.
Fuckestuffus.org.
Yes.
Grab that domain! Grab it right now!
We should just change our view. Like, it will remain error not found on the site, but the URL is fuckestuffus.org.
Yeah.
It'll be really confusing.
Yeah. So, yeah, good year for games.
Great year for games.
So far. And I mean, we got some other great games coming out, like Darkness 2. I saw some video.
Darksiders.
Darksiders 2. Fuck.
Darkness 2 is a good game.
Darkness 2 is a pretty good game, yeah. But Darksiders 2, which I saw some video of, and I'm kind of really in love with the idea of Darksiders 2.
Definitely. And then you've got, like, you know, Borderlands 2, obviously.
Yeah. We've got.
Because I sort of missed the Borderlands 1 train.
Oh, so. Man, you, me, Ryan, and maybe Matthew.
Matthew?
Yeah. I mean, we'll think about it, but we should play Borderlands 2.
We should. Because I commit to that.
I feel like I'm going to be playing Zero.
I don't know about the characters.
You should...
Is there one that's just kind of an all-around gun guy?
Yeah, that would probably be the soldier.
Okay, well, I'll
I don't know his name. I think it's like Guatemala or something. I don't know. Or he could be the Gunzerker. Sanchez or something. I don't know. We got Hitman coming out, a new Hitman game.
And we've also got, I mean, I don't know about this, but I'm looking forward to seeing what Resident Evil 6 is all about.
Uh-huh.
Dishonored, obviously. Yeah. XCOM.
Assassin's Creed 3 looks amazing.
I'm probably going to check out that Persona 4 fighting game, too.
You're weird.
That's weird. Well, Persona 4 is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've also got Guild Wars 2 coming out, and I'm super excited about that.
Right. And then, you know, for the people who are interested in it, you got Black Ops 2, you got Halo 4.
Right.
Which, and also the Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii U. Holy fuck, man. Am I going to be able to get a Wii U at launch?
Far Cry 3.
Have they not released a date for that thing yet?
No.
It's probably going to come out November.
They released a date for a new Super Mario Bros. U, which is December 2nd.
It's probably going to be right around there.
Like
Black Friday? Oh, that would be a terrible day. That'd be a terrible day to release it.
I'm thinking late October, early November.
I think it's too soon. Like, that's, at this point, too soon. Like, if you haven't... If it's going to come out in October, they need to have said that by now. So I think late November, early December.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got some other stuff down here. The where the release date has not been announced. I'm looking forward to Rest of the Walking Dead, obviously.
Yeah.
Zone of the Enders HD collection I'm really interested in, because I never played those games.
Oh, Far Cry 3 looked like it had a pretty cool story.
Yeah. Retro City Rampage seems awesome.
Yeah.
That game seems, like, sort of amazing. I've seen some stuff on Little Big Planet karting that looks actually surprisingly interesting.
Yeah, it looks,
like, they're charming. Keeping a ton of the weird genre-bending Little Big Planet creation stuff.
Yeah, it's very charming and very Fable. Or, not Fable. But Fable the Journey is coming out. But it looks very Little Big Planet.
Dust514, I was in the beta for that. I think I'm actually legally not allowed to talk about it, but that's a game I played.
Yeah.
Angry Birds Trilogy, obviously, we're all excited for. Oh, yeah,
definitely. I mean, $30 for what $5 could get you?
Two games I am legitimately excited for. Jet Set Radio HD. I have a lot of fond memories of the Jet Set Radio games. Then also Lego City Undercover, I think, has the potential to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm also excited for Paper Mario Sticker Star, which I know, dumb subtitle, but...
It's not just a dumb subtitle, though. The
Paper
game,
Mario.
The crux of the gameplay seems silly.
It looks like Paper Mario.
But it's Paper Mario where, like, your battle commands are items that go away after a while.
I might have to re-up my Gamefly subscription so I can afford to play all these games.
Right. Overstrike? That can't possibly still be a game.
We haven't heard anything for a year, and I really want that to be a game.
That can't possibly still be a game, though.
Yeah, but it looks so quirky and awesome.
But I remember there was that, and there was that Brothers in Arms game.
Yeah, and
neither of Brothers in Arms has been canceled.
I don't know if they've gone on record saying it's canceled, but we also haven't
realized
heard.
It's been like 3 years since Inglourious Basterds came out.
Well, but I mean, even if it is just Inglourious Basterds the game, like, that's a fun concept, you know?
That's
like
true.
A quirky World War II shooter. Like, if you're gonna do World War II now, you can't do it realistic. You gotta go for this is a terrible thing to say, but you gotta go for the jokes in World War II.
You gotta go
for
the funny Nazis.
Yeah.
Everybody should just watch Hogan's Heroes and then report back to me. Colonel Clink, funniest Nazi there's ever been.
So, yeah, good year for games so far. Looks like it's going to be a good year for games coming up. And
you people just listened to the fourth segment without realizing it.
Woo! Yep.
We duped you.
Double-deuced you.
That's a little weird.
Well, it's not like we're pooping on them. It's just that, like, that's a term, you know? Like,
okay.
Deuces. Deuces. We,
okay.
Like, two of clubs.
I think we should just cover our tracks and you should play us out.
Two of clubs, and then James Bond wins with a straight flush. Yep. Eight through four of clubs. And that's how he beats the man who cries blood. And then then he makes out with Eva Green. Turns out she's evil. Evil Green. She drowns herself. In a sinking Venice building. Think about that for a second. That's pretty awesome.
Damn it.
Yep.
I just don't want to live in a world without Eva Green.
What else has she been in?
Let's check.
Because, I mean, like, she seemed familiar, but I didn't really find her.
Eva Green was in Dark Shadows. She actually has not been in very much.
Hmm. She's been in some miniseries, and yeah, not much. You know what? I'm going to go on record saying that I think Quantum of Solace is a terrible Bond movie.
She was in that Golden Compass movie that was pretty shitty.
That's also a pretty shitty movie.
Yeah.
Yep. So what's she been doing all these years?
I don't know.
Jeez.
Just been chilling.
Lady, do some more stuff, because she's pretty good.
Yeah, she is pretty good.
Yeah. She could play like Amelia Earhart or something.
That movie already exists.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she could play someone from the 50s. She should be in Gangster Squad with Emma Stone.
All right.
Am I blowing your mind here?
You are sufficiently blowing it.
And in that, Amy Acker makes a cameo.
Oh man, this is just getting to be an overload here, Clint.
With Summer Glau.
Man.
And not Rachel McAdams. I was thinking of somebody else.
This sounds like a movie I want to see, though.
Carrie. Fuck. What's her name?
Mulligan.
Mulligan. Thank you. Carrie Mulligan. Did you know that they redid, like, they're redoing a scene for Gangster Squad?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so there was apparently a scene where a theater gets shot up by the Gangster Squad.
Oh, gotcha.
And so they're actually reshooting the entire scene and changing it.
Here's a good question.
Which could also change it from an R to a PG-13.
Here's a good question.
Hmm.
What are we doing right now?
Finding out that Ryan Gosling is going to be Logan in the Logan's Run remake.
Perfect!
Directed by Nicholas Winning Refn.
Alright, a little bit of housekeeping here before we leave your ears. Gentle listeners.
And he's also going to be in an untitled Terrence Malick project.
Oh, man, those are the best kinds of Terrence Malick projects.
Starring Christian Bale.
Okay.
Natalie Portman.
Is it a sequel to The Tree of Life? Is it called The Tree of Death?
No, but it is two intersecting love triangles, obsession and betrayal, set against the music scene in Austin, Texas. Which has a pretty good music scene.
The Tree of Death actually frequently uses that shot of the tree from The Tree of Life, but they reverse all the colors.
And apparently they shot the movie at South by Southwest this year. So,
oh, all right.
I could have been there.
Go to South by Southwest sometime. I
could have been there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try you should have gone.
I'll try and go next year. I got some friends down there.
You know, Much Ado About Nothing is premiering at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yes, I did tweet you that.
Oh, you were the one who brought that to my attention.
Yeah, because I said
I really want to go to the
Joss
Toronto
Whedon
Film
calls Fest. His movie fancy. Evan talking how he crafts his pants in excitement.
And then he also did the score.
Oh, he
because
did?
Because fuck, why not?
I'm interested to see, like, is he taking just straight Shakespeare, or is it going to also be
reports? Because he has a script writing credit.
Yeah,
but then I've also heard people say he's using the original text, so I don't know.
Maybe it's a mix.
Maybe it's a mix.
Oh, man, maybe would that be the best thing ever?
Thingy in the some shakes.
The lady doth protest too much about the thingy. Go to errornotfound.org for all of your movie and television and TV, no, video game reviews.
Right. Also follow us all on Twitter. I'm at not_found_blog. Clint is at original Clint. Matthew, don't know why you'd want to follow him, but he's at TarrelVirus, T-A-R-R-E-L virus. Once again, his OKCupid profile username is warm cow's milk, no apostrophe.
And also, be sure to watch our videos. We've got a Hitman playthrough going on right now. We've got some episodes that I need to post up pretty soon, which I will. And we've also got a video of me playing through Slender for 8 minutes and screaming like a helpless little girl.
Oh, God, it was so great. It was so great.
So, anyway, check that stuff out. And we will see you guys next week. Sorry this podcast has been late. Things happen. But the next one will not be late. You have my word on that.
Hey, Clint.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. But soft, what light through yon window thingy breaks?
Tis the east, and Juliet is the sunny thingum thing.
Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon thingy.
Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Oh man, I was gonna think of another Joss Whedon thingy. Ah well.
Bye.
Joss Whedon directs Romeo and Juliet.
As long as it's with Amy Acker and Alexis Denisoff.
I was thinking of getting David from the Foma.
What?
David Boreanaz.
Boreanaz.
Anyway, Summer Glau should be in it. Summer Glau would make a good Juliet.
It's true. Summer Glau would make a good anything.
Yeah.
Is this podcast over?
Emma Stone. What if Joss Whedon and Emma Stone directed something or did something together?
Huh? Oh, God. Emma Stone reading Joss Whedon dialogue would be about the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, I agree. Podcast! Also, I can't find anyone interesting to date on OKCupid, so...
Too bad.
Yeah. I'll be forever alone.
I bet there will be some interesting people who send messages to Matthew's account.